blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityam Piti Tapiam Piti Sava. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dityam Piti Tapiam Piti Sava. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyam Pi Tatiyam Pi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Niroha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Niroha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Priyaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi, tatiyampi, sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything,
we will end suffering.
If ending suffering is not more important than anything,
we will not end suffering.
If I am suffering,
it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering.
We are not here to create and cling to beliefs.
We are here to pay attention.
We are here to use everything in our experience
to see how we cause ourselves to suffer,
so we can drop that and end suffering. Reported and made available to monthly donors. What should we look at this morning?
So I'm looking at a similar process I've seen. essentially, it's like the year long retreat. And I haven't participated in this for a couple of years because the weekend timing hardly ever worked out, and so I just do the best I can with the alcohol. But so it's emptying the cup, you know, that the that this is like such a this process just comes back around so fast I can't see where to get in on it actually, but the I get in on it, I'll be exposing it somehow, you know, so it's, it jumps back so fast. So if I go for guidance, if I go through the process text, like, there's a tendency to want to just report how well everything's going, and like to show, and so from a critical viewpoint, to show that I'm doing it right, you know, and so feeling like I don't always make a veil of the guidance opportunity because I'm so busy taking the time up with, and I saw this and I saw this and I saw that.
Here's how well I'm doing.
Right.
And if I'm tracking you, it sounds like, so there's that going on maybe, and is part of what you're saying that you're not sure that's what's going on or if that's just what ego labeled it?
Right, I'm not sure, because it's super quick to jump back into a conversation about, well, is it that? Because I see this.
Right.
There's this seeing.
Right, there were those insights today.
There's this excitement to share it.
Right.
And there's, you know, certainly, you know, kind of a young place or a tender place that's like, look.
Yeah.
And kind of and tell me how good I'm doing. I kind of want that.
Uh-huh. Right.
Which all seems like art.
Right.
And still,
boy, there's so much in it, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, as you're saying that, I've never quite seen this, but that what would be such a great practice is to do a little recording and listening before sending the process text.
Mm.
Because there is such a tendency, I think for all of us really, to use that process of guidance that's available to us through practice as an avenue for seeking, for getting what we're seeking. And of course, what practice points us towards always is that's here. Mm-hmm. What we're ultimately seeking is an internal experience. And, oh my gosh, it's so easy to get muddled up in that. And so there's guidance available to assist us with that process.
Right.
And if we're not seeing kind of the complexities of what's at play, there's a chance that what guidance ends up being used for is just attempting to get more of those core needs met.
Right.
Right? And that what I just saw with that recording listening is, so if there really is a place of, I saw all these things today, and gosh, I would love someone to share that with me, to kind of reflect that, mirror that for me, that there could be a way of playing with that in the recording practice, maybe with a mentor, which would might make available to Brian, to the person, that, first of all, great, if what comes out of that is, let's report that. You know, great, excellent. You know, I mean, you'll hear people move all the time, report on what they're seeing. That's a perfectly legitimate, you know, thing to bring to group or to guidance or that sort of thing. And if there is something else that in our practice we would like to avail ourselves of, that guidance is a bit, you know, so you have this opportunity for a month every single day or 5 days a week, you get to exchange with guidance.
Right.
You know, look at something. And so might there be something from all of those insights in the day that you'd like to get some assistance with, that you'd like to ask about, that you'd like to, in particular, have reflected, that you'd like to...
Yeah, that's great. It's just like the duality of it just shows up so fast that I'm either noodling it and shouldn't at all.
Right.
So don't noodle it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's almost I can't even talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. That it just, you know, we're so trained to go to the condition process.
Right.
That the condition process is just gonna weave itself through everything that we do. And that, at least to me, to try to not to do that is just the other side of it.
Right. It's pushing it away, even though it may have a different word, but it works out to be that it's still resisting.
Yeah. You know, so giving ourselves that space, if we look at, in particular, the process text example, knowing that that's going on and sort of using it as a workshop, giving ourselves the space to take a few minutes before it and after it and during, you know, just using the whole thing as a workshop, realizing we can't do it wrong, right? Which is what ego is attempting to pull it into, right? Well, you're just reporting on that, you know, or I'm sure occasionally, well, that was good, you know, that
Right.
Just keep us in the game, keep us interested.
All right, because something comes back from, you know, the facilitator, and that is, yeah, excellent, or something like that. And it's like there's a physiological rush and release, and what I feel is like a releasing of conditioning, squeeze for a little bit.
Yeah.
That conditioning just uses to get back in again.
Exactly.
Right? It's just.
Exactly.
You know, it's a little opening that just gets grabbed again.
Exactly.
If there's not awareness.
Exactly. If there's not awareness. And if there is awareness, then everything we see becomes part of what we're practicing with. Everything that happens to us. Right? Because there's that physiological response and a momentary release from conditioning. Maybe it's a momentary release from conditioning. Maybe it's being on one side of the duality, the good side for a moment. Maybe, who knows? But if we pay attention, and we ascribe the believe nothing, take nothing personally, all of those things on all sides, and just watch. You know, so, wow, you know, response comes back, excellent, yes, exactly so, Gesho. You know, there's, and just watching that response, just watching what there is there, watching ego want to attach to the meeting, watch the, right, watching it want to put it on one side of the duality, which, as you say, is setting you up for the other side of the duality.
Right, and watching it instantly want to take away because, oh, you're going to be, don't get too full of yourself kind of thing.
That's right.
Like instantly. Like not even
yeah.
a full breath's worth of
yeah. right.
that. You know, if I go there,
yeah.
if I go there.
Well, and as you describe that, it's perfect because if we truly associate that momentary, you know, I don't know what word you would use for it, but if it's a positive kind of experience, it's almost like a drug thing, isn't it?
Mm.
It's so quick and so momentary. And if we're training ourselves that we're getting it from the process text, then no wonder there would be a wanting to report the good stuff to get one of those again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and almost, it does seem like a checking in with conditioning just so fast.
Yeah.
Just well, habitual conditioning. Conditioned response that, because
yeah.
the other thing is, well, don't. It could just as easily be, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I've got that problem, and oh, great,
exactly.
Source of wisdom on the other side of the phone, help me.
Exactly. It could be.
Because that would be the right way to do it.
Exactly.
You know, so and then none of that's.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's so great, isn't it? It requires us to stay here. Right. Because if something, we're never going to get an answer.
That's always the answer.
Yeah. And that drive to figure out which one is it, which we don't realize, I mean, we do when we're here, but is code for so I can go unconscious and stop watching and stop seeing and stop being here, which, of course, is not what we actually want.
Right.
What we actually want is to be here all the time.
Right.
Because from our own experience, we know that's where we have our lives.
Yeah, we just dropped in. It's like so much of the drive seems to have been like the survival mechanism and safety. Oh, I'll be safe. I won't be in trouble. And it's like, we're just dropping in. It's like, safe from what?
Right.
Safe from what exactly? Because
there's,
you know, the...
It's a great question.
Yeah.
A great question. It feels like certainly through the email class, but larger than that, that it feels like Sherry's really pointing us in that direction of safe from what? To ask that question. Because when that stays elusive, it has that behind the scenes control over us. But when we really look at it squarely in the face, we realize it's bogus.
Right.
Yeah. I had the opportunity to kind of see with greater clarity a process or something that's coming out of the email class. With some calls this morning, and so I started with one issue at the beginning of the email class, and the series of responses have ended in a kind of, I guess, the final question, because I just did number 9, so there's only one more. The final question, the last question I have, it was kind of emphasizing a place that I had started myself in the direction, and it said, and so the focus is on having fun, yes? And what I have seen is that I don't know how many times I've gotten to that place myself and seeing like that is such a gaping hole for this being. The conditioning was such so strong that you had to be responsible, you had to attend to your responsibilities responsibly, underline all the responsibles, and, you know, fun just didn't figure in the mix at all.
It wasn't part of with you.
And I remember a particular, and I have hardly any, I have very few memories of my early days and with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just don't, it hasn't been fun. And so what's the fun in remembering, you know? But I remember this one time that was so out of character that I remember my father and I, somehow or another, and I can't even imagine how this could have happened, were on the floor in the house by ourselves, and we were kind of wrestling and laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just remembering that, it's kind of like, did that really happen, or was that a dream? Because it doesn't seem like it could have really happened.
Uh-huh.
But what happened was, all of a sudden, I looked at him, and his face just changed from a laugh to a, like, what I got from it was like, oh God, I've slipped out of character.
Yeah.
There, both of my parents were in the role of mother and father. I didn't really know who they were as people.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and so it was kind of scary to me because it was so sudden.
Yeah.
And it was like what it translated to me is, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
We're having fun. There's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're laughing. There's something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing just immediately ended at that point. And I can see that's what conditioning does to me now. I start to have fun, and it's like, oops, something happens. And I'm not told anything like that, because that would be like, really. It's this visceral kind of thing that's represented by that change in face.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of this undercurrent. And so I see that as rule, and the responsibility has been where I'm told to go, and, you know, get serious about life, and
right.
buckle down and do your work, and
right. yeah.
get your homework done, and get a good grade, don't you be late for class.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So there you are going along doing that, you know, being that, what you're so trained to be, that
mm-hmm.
responsible,
mm-hmm.
got to do it responsibly.
Oh, yeah, the good grades, on
good
time.
Good grades, on time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then accidentally, almost literally, slip into having fun.
Yeah.
And then you can feel a snapback. And you said it doesn't really happen in words.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that sense, it's just a clear sense of shutting that down.
Yeah.
Back to... sound like what you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that kind of, I've seen that, and so that's why having fun turns up on a lot of best year yet goals and stuff. But then what I see happens is that the serious practitioner takes on that goal, and now we've got to be having fun. And so it's
there we go.
Yeah,
it's responsible
real.
To have fun.
Yeah.
Our plan, and responsible people do their plan.
Yeah.
So let's get going with the fun, please.
Yeah, exactly. And what fun is that, huh?
Yeah.
So what I've seen in this email class is that this is the first email class that I've ever had fun doing.
Wow.
And I didn't intend it. Nobody said this is the responsible thing to do with this serious Socratic response with the guide. I mean, I was afraid to actually sign up for this because I thought, oh dear, this seems a little scary. All this back and forth, whoa. And I've had such a good time. And it's just been not intentional. It's just been that something has loosened up inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the response things have not been hard. Like I could, some of the other classes, I could labor over them, sit in front of my computer for longer than I care to admit,
mm-hmm.
Trying to bang out something, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it never was quite right. But this time it's like, I think it just drops in.
Uh-huh.
I just put it down,
yeah.
and I do the thing, I count the words,
yeah.
and it's 50.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like, I haven't even tried, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's been, and I just have to laugh right then, you know? And
yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
that it worked out like that, and I didn't really even try to write it. It just kind of wrote, and then it was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was perfect on the other end, but it felt like that process was perfect anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, so I'm seeing that that's the process,
yeah.
Is letting go,
yeah.
Relaxing, and letting life
yeah.
have fun.
Yeah.
Because life is fun.
Life is fun.
The human, the conditioned human, doesn't know anything about having fun, and it doesn't know how to do it.
And it doesn't want to.
It doesn't want to, but somebody in here does.
Right, but the conditioned process doesn't, and I think that's
yeah.
a huge place we all get tripped up,
yeah.
right? If, well, I'm trying so hard to have fun. I really want to have fun. But not realizing that all of that is within the identity that
yeah.
has no interest in
yeah.
fun at all. And each of us could plug in whatever content would be ours for there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
the identity who really is trying to do that thing, but in fact is making sure it's kept way out of our experience.
Yeah, it's a perfect example of that Einstein quote, you can't solve a problem with the
exactly.
same mind that came up with the problem.
Exactly.
So the person that doesn't have fun cannot be the
yeah.
one who's having fun.
Yeah. You know, and it's
the conditioned person.
Exactly. Yeah, but a big piece of it is that being willing to, I don't know, you know, you said it's shown up in a lot of best or yet plans, and best or yet plans are made annually, so being willing to, year after year, or whatever it is, decade after decade, to stay with the intention.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Right? And to let life unfold it. You know, so to just, there's that intuitive sensing that keeps coming back to you of focusing on fun.
Yeah, I'm not sure that, I think it has just gotten mowed over all the time,
yeah.
you know, kind of just mowed over, and then we get to the end and we go, oh, doesn't look like we had a lot of fun. Well, we went on that, this hike, and that was, you know, kind of like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I get to the point where I'm making some goals for something, and I put it in there.
Okay.
It puts
yeah.
it jumps in there because
yeah.
somebody wants that to be important.
Yeah. And then at some point, at least the way you describe it, it begins to actually organically show itself.
It organically shows
yeah.
itself.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which, you know, this is my experience. You can try it on and see, but that it can feel like all of those other things were failed attempts. And from a conditioned perspective, that's so, right? But from that light perspective of transformation, is that so?
No, I don't
believe
so.
Or is it all just part of then what suddenly we start to be able to see the quote result, and that's when we think it all started, right?
Right.
It's that analogy we were using a while back of the giant bamboo plant.
Yes, it stayed there for so long, and then all
right.
of a sudden, you're on.
For 5 years. It stayed under the ground.
Oh,
you
right.
water it, and nothing happened.
Right, by you.
It looks like there's nothing happening. And then in 90 days, it grows to its full height of something like 90 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good metaphor, isn't it? Because it wouldn't have done that if you weren't watering it.
Exactly.
It would have just stayed there forever.
Exactly.
So that's a really good metaphor. You know, we're watering, we're weeding, and we're...
Yeah.
tending things around there, maybe putting a little fertilizer on there,
yeah.
that's what it's called for, and
yeah.
keeping
and
aware of it.
And the process of loving it through all those 5 years when, quote, it's not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah, it keeps showing up.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's kept it alive, I think. It just
yeah.
kind of gets mowed over in the action
yeah.
part of it, but it's alive somewhere so
yeah.
that it says, Me,
exactly.
put me on the goals this year.
Yeah, it keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps coming up. And you know, as you describe it, it just seems like there's such a wide open space to have fun with that process of taking
yeah.
it so seriously.
Yes, exactly.
Right? To poke fun at the process.
Yes.
Okay, we gotta have fun
yeah.
here. I'm gonna, and that in itself is fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I found this, I found it a while back, and I have it in a nice place now, because I can look at it periodically, but I have this really thick, it's an art book, it's like a big black book with drawing paper this thick,
mm-hmm.
and I bought it years and years ago for drawing some personalities in there.
Uh-huh.
And so I have, you know, battery cycles in there, and I have this whole, and the battery cycle has where all these sub-personalities show up.
Uh-huh.
And I actually have one that is kind of the dictator,
mm-hmm.
and I drew it, and I can't even believe I drew it. It looks exactly like Adolf Hitler. It has that hat and that little mustache, and
And perhaps not a personality, huh?
Huh?
Perhaps not a personality.
Oh yeah, I didn't think of that. I just thought that yeah, there's definitely that sub personality, but it could be just
self hatred.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Just that. Thing that would keep you out of the process of fun.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, it's that the old move we always make of, would I ever, ever treat anyone else that way? Would I ever want to interfere with someone else having fun in their lives and experiencing that joy in that process? No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
You know, quite the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
I would take her out to all kinds of places. I would push the envelope. I would explore the sensations with her that come up when she gets in those situations where she starts to have fun. I would record with her in those moments. I would, you know,
that's what's starting to happen.
Yeah,
the paying attention to that process of how that gets stopped, because, I think that's important. To see it, so that then when it's seen, it can be let go of. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Thank you.
Funny.
I have. I'm in a situation where I feel like there's this jigsaw puzzle, you know, and there's these pieces that are not connected, but they're all part of the puzzle.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to talk about the pieces.
Is it one of those where you keep, it's got to go over there. There's green and red. No, but it doesn't.
No, it's more like, oh, another piece. Just, you know, uh-huh. I don't really know. So
you're not sure where they go, but they're there.
So so it just dropped in a few minutes ago was remembering when I was a visiting monk. And when I came, I made a commitment to be wholehearted in my participation. And I found as I was going along that I really also wanted to be home.
You also wanted to be home.
And that felt like a conflict until it dawned on me that the whole heart can contain everything. And that was a real transformational moment for me in that I could want to be here, like being here, I wasn't going to walk up the hill. And I wanted to be home, and all of that was fine within the whole heart.
So in other words, without seeing it, there had been an assumption that participating wholeheartedly would mean all of your attention would be here and, quote, want to be here.
That's right.
And that it felt like a conflict that wanting, quote, to be home
right.
was in opposition to being wholehearted. But in fact, wholehearted is simply accepting all that is here in this moment and holding all of it, and that included something that wanted to be home.
It wasn't that being wholehearted does that. It was that the whole heart does that. It wasn't trying to do anything. It just the whole heart just did hold all that. And so the reason I think two pieces ago, I think the reason that dropped in was that so my Socratic email class project has been looking at how. To be engaged as I am in a couple of organizations in the county that are hot topic kind of organizations,
mm-hmm.
from love. And it is a bit of a struggle. No, it is a struggle. And because the environment is not loving, you know, much of the time, and the language is not along those lines. And so the condition message is either just go in there and, you know, fight or get out altogether. So how to be in from a different place has been the challenge. And another way of saying that is how to stay with the heart, how to be in with the heart. And I was just listening to what the first conversation and about, you know, then bam, I'm off in righteousness, bam, I'm off in their wrong, bam, I'm off. And what I just got was the heart can contain all that.
Yeah.
you know, that I don't, when that happens, I don't have to be in the struggle about the fact that that's happening. I can just notice it's happening. Drop it. I don't have to have any opinions about it's happening. I don't have to feel bad about it's happening. All that does is take me there. Take me out there. Yeah, if I get caught, so I go off and I get into my righteousness.
Uh-huh.
And then if I have anything come up around being in righteousness,
right.
I stay in righteousness.
That's right.
And what I was just saying was, I can notice that happened, and the heart can contain that.
Exactly.
That I was dividing coming from the heart from going there.
Right.
And it's all part of the same package.
Yeah.
It's just really helpful.
Yeah, because if I'm following what you're saying, so the environment that you're in, you said it's not a loving environment.
Some of the time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that I would guess that's because that process of dividing is that's what's happening.
Right.
And then it sounds like the realization was, oh wait, that's the same process that's happening internally.
Yep.
So there are all the things happening inside of you exactly the same, the way all the things are happening in this external situation.
Yep.
Maybe the words are different, you know, the quote sides are different, they're taking these sides, I'm taking these sides, whatever it is. But that process of dividing, that it sounds like is what you're experiencing as so something you don't want to be involved with, is what's happening internally.
Right.
And then the possibility was, wow, that the heart can hold all of it, can
yep.
be that wholehearted place.
Yep.
And then that's a huge clue to being in the process of love, as you say, involved in this concept.
And starting with love for this being, exactly. who gets caught in that.
Yeah,
yeah. And that because the fight becomes a double level fight then. The first the fight is out there, then the fight is against the fact that the fight is out there.
Yeah.
And it's just a tar baby, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so that just came together listening today. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking the other night too about, what arose today about what Sherry was talking about the other night, about how we think we have to do, you know?
Yeah.
How we think we have to think. Because that's doing our part. And
yeah.
and I think that there's a sense of that part of what leads me astray, leads me away from the heart, is getting into that something's got to happen, we got to do something, we got to, you know, that we have to make an effort. We have to try.
Uh-huh.
And more and more I'm getting that trying is just a floor trap right into conditioning, just right down there, and to approach that involvement from a place of ease would be huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And so again, you know, because it's all framed in terms of struggle.
Right.
All the language is about struggle.
Yeah.
All the language is about division. All the language
yeah.
is about us and them. So even, you know, trying to be loving,
exactly.
I can still get into the struggle to try to be loving.
Exactly.
And so I just think that just the layers and layers and layers to drop and to not feel for one moment bad about those layers because the heart can contain it all.
Yeah, exactly. So the tar baby is struggling not to struggle,
mm-hmm.
right? So you see the struggle,
mm-hmm.
and then, okay, I gotta not struggle.
Yeah.
And it never occurs to us to, you know, the world of opposites, to employ ease
mm-hmm.
in the face of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's huge, isn't it?
It's huge, yeah. And if I can't find ease, the heart contains that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that, you know, because of course it's that Aikido move. If I can't find ease, and what's implied in that is acceptance,
mm-hmm.
there's an ease that's held with
right.
it.
Right. There's an acceptance of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying step back, step back, step back, step back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And it's so helpful. And it's just, you know, it's really fun because truly none of this got thought out.
Right.
And I was like, that dropped in, and then that dropped in, and then there was that conversation, and then Sherry said that, and
yeah.
it really is like a jigsaw puzzle, and just sort of a greater and greater clarity.
Yeah.
That emerges. It doesn't
yeah.
get made.
Yeah, and you know, when you say that, it reminds me of the thing of how we talk about practice is expanding the container. And it sounds like that.
Mm-hmm.
The container is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger so that all of it can
mm-hmm.
be contained within it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we keep thinking that we're going to identify the thing that's the issue. And then we can clear that up. Mm-hmm. But what actually happens is the container gets bigger and we realize that there is no issue to be cleared up. And that it's completely fine. Mm-hmm. Which, with each of those movements, there's less of an I who needs to do anything about it. Who needs to effort, who needs to struggle, who needs to...
And what it feels like this person is right now is there's a knowing that the container is limitless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This being is still operating within a smaller container.
Right.
And still gets caught in all those things.
Yeah.
But there's the trust that the container is big enough to include that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's an amazing place, isn't it? Because to me, that's what brings in that amazing sense of adventure and curiosity, and even for me, patience in practice, mm-hmm. where, you know, we are where we are in practice, which we never know where that is, right? Mm-hmm. Because, of course, in those moments of realizing, wow, the container is limitless, I would guess, if only for a brief moment, there we are in that limitless container, mm-hmm. right? Because
yeah.
we can't see that without being in that experience.
Yeah.
And to know that, gosh, it's, I mean, just like the sun go on, right? That it just, in whatever time frame, it just expands itself.
Yeah.
If we stay in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And that either option that conditioning offers, which is either to get out
right.
or fight it out,
right.
Doesn't allow that process to happen.
Doesn't allow that process to happen. And if we keep showing up, can't stop it either.
Yeah.
Even though we do go to those two sides of reality, right?
Yeah.
We either literally or metaphorically drop out or
yeah.
you know, buckle down. And then we see that. And then the container gets bigger to expand that, and then
yeah. And it really requires a lot of kindness, you know. And when I can tell that, oh God, I did it again here,
yeah.
to be kind,
yeah.
to just say, well, okay,
because yeah.
because there's such pressure then to say to go either go for it or get out, and neither one is an avenue that. Neither one is the avenue that is kind, and neither one of them trusts that container.
Yeah. And that process of kindness, starting with, you know, ourselves, is it feels like the source of compassion.
Mm-hmm. Same thing, really.
Right.
Like, yeah.
For ourselves and for everyone involved. And then, you know, we can guess that people like Gandhi or, you know, Mandela, those are people who were practicing that at such a deep level that they were able to have, you know, model a container that was large enough truly to contain all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which was so, you know, anyone who is at all plugged in was sensing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, drawn to that, to that amazing process.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing in this conversation one of the ways the container that is just shrinks with me, mm-hmm. and it's these words, yeah, look what happened to him. That
like
break.
Gandhi or
yes. And it came up when you Socrates. Yeah, look what happened to him.
Yeah. We don't actually ultimately know, but
we don't. I thought we did.
In the big picture.
Oh, right. Big picture. But that sentence doesn't really worry about the big picture.
Right. It's not coming from the big picture.
Yeah. This is about Jesus, you know, yeah, look what happened to him. And I saw as the conversation went on this morning that it was a process that was learned really young, because I'm the youngest of five kids, and I watched what happened to all my older siblings. Put them in her. Okay, don't do that. Never.
We know four ways in which it doesn't work.
That gets you hit. That gets you hit. You know, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh. That gets you yelled at.
Yeah. And so just all of that note taking,
yeah.
internal, and then to see, you know, how I'm told a lot in practice, you know, don't look to that reference. We don't reference conditioned mind,
mm-hmm.
and just seeing it was kind of that kindness, like, yeah, oh, I can see why that's
mm-hmm.
such a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why I'm still doing it, because how it is just so deeply
so
ingrained.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, entrenched, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's the bamboozle that we're going to get to comparison. I think that's one of the whole chapters that it's called. But it feels like it's that's the process that happens. So here's a, you know, let's take Jesus, because that's a big one that uses, you know, especially this time of year, right before Easter, when, you know, the whole crucifixion, the whole passion, you know, happens, and it's like my whole clock in the year is like, attention just goes to, you know, look what happened to him. And I, for better or for worse, have heard a lot of interpretations of scripture about how those events came to be. Mm-hmm. And this time of year, it just haunts me. How he got himself killed. Mm-hmm. And
that's the way it's presented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you this. I can tell you the interpretation. You would be convinced too. You know, that's how, because it's like the scripture scholar. I wish I'd never read him. You know, but it shows, lays out historically what happened and why Pilate didn't release him. You know, and I don't know why. It's interesting to me why this is all so, like, it haunts me. And that's like, mm-hmm. you know, but anyway, yeah. Where is that going with this?
This time of year really comes up.
Something about compare. The process that it compares. See, I get sidetracked by that. It, the whole conversation becomes: be safe, be small, be don't try. Stick your neck out. Look what happened to Socrates. Look what happened to Gandhi. Look what happened to Jim. Just be small. And the reference system, the attention just goes to that. Like, that's mm-hmm. what's going to keep that. That's, if you just keep looking to me, I'll keep you safe.
So, at the risk of. Let me ask you this. Is it your projection that Gandhi or Jesus or Socrates, if we could interview them now, would say they regret it? What happened?
No, not at all. Not at all. And from that expanded place, I mean, who knows, right? Like you're saying, we don't really know what happened. And it's interesting that voice never mentions the resurrection.
Well, just or what happened in India, or...
Yeah, all the changes. What Mandela, India, Martin Luther King, you know, all of this.
And there's so much, I mean, there really is so much assumption in it, isn't it? So if we take all of those figures, if we throw Mandela in there, we'd say, well, Mandela had a happy ending. Right? He lived a long life and he died of old age. Mm-hmm. And in that conditioned world, something went wrong in all those other mm-hmm. instances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's just so interesting that, I mean, as you say, you know, from a karmic perspective, from a even just a, you know, childhood conditioning perspective, it all makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
From a practicing perspective, it seems like there's a lot of space to question that, right? Mm-hmm. So the attention gets pulled there, and to just decide, well, I mean, that's crazy. That's not what I actually believe. That's not what I resonate with. That's not what I'm not going for a safe, small life where I can live to old age in order to, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's been the big duality mm-hmm. my whole practice life. The very first t-shirt I bought from this practice was, I don't want to tear jokes through life, but sure, I think we did. I wore it out. And then when I moved here, I cut the shirt was worn out. I cut out the words that are on the wall in my hermitage. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So there's that big that big intention, like, okay, fun. Keep coming up. I don't want to be small. I don't want to. And, you know, and then there's, yeah, but look what happened to them.
Right. Well, and that's fine, right? I mean, especially because, you know, if that come from God knows where, you know, from the biggest karmic perspective, I mean, who knows how long that's been there and what it's come from and all that. So as part of, we could say, the service that Rebecca is offering is to sit through that karma, then that's fine. You know, yeah, it's going to come up. I again and again and again. The word of the opponent.
Yeah.
And there it is. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to take drugs for life in order to arrive safely dead. I don't want to take drugs for life in order to. And that willingness to bring the attention back to that as many trillion times as it takes.
Uh huh.
That's okay.
Yeah. I just need to report what it's doing now. But he was so stupid. That's it. Just, you know, Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's just, I mean, it's literally, it's like.
But what's saying that?
Yeah. The karma.
Right. Mm-hmm. So again, okay, good things. He was so stupid. I don't want to tiptoe through life in order to address safety at that. I don't want to tiptoe.
Yeah, but I mean, give me a break. You're so smartly.
In a way, if what we truly want is freedom, then things like you're describing are a service to us.
Yeah, the words,
the tenacity of the karma. Because it won't, it's going to dog us until we give in to the one-pointed focus. I heard in another context someone say, you have to just surrender to the fact that it works. As soon as you surrender to the fact that it works, you know, I can't remember what her end of the sentence was, but the way I would fill that in is, you know, you're home free.
Yeah.
But we do, we hold out. It's not about our version of what you're talking about. We hold it out for the... But there must be a way to practice that still works out this thing that I'm trying to work out.
Yeah.
Whether it's, why did he do that? Or if he could just have, or now I'm going to do it so that I don't have to, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But to surrender to, that's all the karma. All of that is within the karma. I can't engage with it at all. Mm-hmm. Not one tiny toe in there.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be completely here.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some places where it's not that intense for us.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, those are much harder places to practice. Because there can be that sense of like, you know, just being me.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's not that bad. You know, it's kind of fine. And then we get really quietly talked into indulging it without realizing that's what's happening. But with something like you're talking about, it's so stark.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, I mean, it's like, it's, you know, I know I'm not going to piss off the Romans. You know, I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen in this lifetime. But
there's someone else.
Exactly. There's always the Roman.
Yes.
Yeah, there's always the authority. There's always the someone who has control over your
And life. That to me is the place of giant compassion.
Say more.
That to me, at least if I'm tracking what you're describing, you know, the other side of it is like, come on, get over it. You're not Jesus, mm-hmm. and we're not in ancient Rome. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know? But to realize on some survival gut, you know, first chakra level, it feels like that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have great compassion for ourselves as we have the courage to go up against that system, because no, you're not going to get nailed to a cross.
Yeah.
But it can feel like
Yeah. Great compassion as we go up against that process, because there is, because of whatever metaphysical thing goes on, it can feel in this body in 2016 the exact same sensations and thought patterns and everything. And so, as we talked about earlier, the container, you know, when it's like, okay, did it? Yeah, I got there again. Okay, it's Lent again. Now I'm feeling, you know, those stories are coming back again. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, bless your heart, you know, just sort of. We've got to go on it. And if I'm tracking you, and in those little ways, those subtle little, I cooked the more quinoa, but never started in some prep. You know, it's like, oh, that's, you know, that same, not not just, oh well, it's not that, you know, not blowing it off, but not, well, sort of like that embodying the awareness.
That's what I want to do too.
You know,
yeah.
Just never indulging the feeling that, yeah. No matter how,
right,
in quote, innocent or how,
yeah,
life or death it may seem on either continuum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that shuts down the process of practice. Right,
yeah.
So if I will make a mistake,
mm-hmm,
right, to see it as a mistake and go to the conditioned reaction to that, is actually, it's egocentric, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's all about me, and it's what I'm going to feel bad, and, you know, ironically, it's going to eventually come around to me being the perpetrator again, right? Because in that, I'm the victim, right? And I'm,
right?
But in that process of, and we have those steps laid out,
yeah,
you know, for the recording. It's that thing Sherry wrote that we had a business update on it, and Sherry blogged about it.
Yeah.
Of the seven steps to, I forget what she titled it exactly, but looking at, really looking at it. What?
Yeah.
What is there with that?
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, same attitude of mind with Lent. You know, I just, as you were saying that, I just thought of, you know, so here's Lent coming, and making the recording to say, hey, not to set us up, because who knows, you know, 1 year maybe it's just going to drop away and not be there, but I'm aware that Lent's coming. Give me a heads up if you need any assistance.
Yeah.
I know it can be a challenging time sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, no need to buy into any of it. It's clearly old karma. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with us.
Yeah.
But I am here to assist.
Yeah.
If something comes up.
And the one who would make that recording and the and authenticity, mm-hmm, is the one who is just almost a dead set, but I'm not the bad phrase, but whose intention, whose wholehearted realizing we are here to end suffering intention is to look to life for guidance.
Yeah, exactly.
Not this system.
Yep.
Not, yeah, look what happened to them.
Yep.
And so, so that is the ground of being.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. Yeah, and just to make some recordings from that place,
mm-hmm,
and acknowledging that place,
uh-huh,
feels like a real good,
mm-hmm,
next step.
So make some recordings from that place and acknowledging that place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's been helpful to hear your conversations this morning. I've just been looking at, while people were talking, something that I'm looking at, which is using is-that-so.
Is-that-so.
You know, when those kind of conversations come up,
mm-hmm,
how incredibly helpful that's been.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so, so clear in those moments,
yeah,
what's what.
And so applicable to everything.
Yeah, it really is. Actually, it's sort of like, because I was like, gosh, how many times can I say this to
anybody? Right,
pretty,
exactly,
pretty much all the time, because,
yeah,
there's pretty much always a conversation going on.
Yeah. And not just like that. Mm, that's so. Yeah, but I mean, you, that's so.
Yeah, it's almost like, and you know what's really great? Is that
so? Wow, that was, you really did. That's so.
Oh my gosh, that is fun. We were talking about fun.
Yeah.
That's good, because so the guidance that I've gotten is, so that's great. There's a disidentification.
Yeah.
And it seems like the habit then is to sort of stay on the threshold of the light room,
yeah,
kind of looking back into the dark room,
uh-huh,
which kind of is my experience. I've also been doing this thing the last 45 days where I do 3 10-minute, what I call, insane presence. So,
uh-huh,
an alarm goes off. The immediate thing is to start the 10-minute timer,
uh-huh,
and then for 10 minutes, no matter what I'm doing, I'm just giving all I can possibly give to be here.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the experience is, and then, and then the next thing is, beep, 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 you know, the 10 minutes went by. And it's like, wow,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and there is that place of, wow,
yeah,
oh my gosh, what is going on here, you know? But there's a lot of, I've been noticing, just,
mm-hmm,
you know, like,
mm-hmm,
dang.
Yeah.
And the dang seems sort of like in response to like a disappointing look, or, you know.
Like you said, you're
going to
be present.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, gosh, I've been doing this for a lot of days, and it's still happening that way. And so the encouragement is so then I'm just hooked back into a conversation. You know, so basically what looked like happened is that I was off for 10 minutes, and then I wake up to the alarm, and then the hook back in is sort of this disappointing look, and I'll try harder next time, and how about now, I want to do another 10 minutes? But there's still that, I'm referencing the system, and so looking at, if there's a disidentification, then turning the attention to the brilliance of life. You know, the wow, the excitement of looking, the... abundant rainfall, all the amazing things that are going on all the time.
Yeah.
And so looking how to do that on a regular basis outside of practice commitment recordings that I do a couple times a day. Because I think I've talked about that. It's like, great, I'm really focused. I'm doing a present moment recording. I'm doing everything I love.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know? So...
and that's fine because it takes me a little bit back to the conversation we were having with Cameron about, you know, being willing to keep watering the bamboo for as long as it takes. You know, it sounds like, I'm tracking what you're saying, but there's some idea. So there you are, you've got this 45-day intention, and every day you're doing it. You're setting the timer 3 times a day, and it sounds like, well, it's not all the time. You set the timer, okay, here we go, and then, you know, whoop. And then 7 months later, the thing goes off, and there's like, wow, all right, you know.
Yeah.
But that sense of, what if we just kept doing it?
Yeah.
That was so critical, the piece of training the attention to be on the magnificence of life.
Yeah.
You know, the abundant rainfall, but there's none of that. Because, of course, what project is going to happen in that is there's a training to delay in the process.
Yeah.
And then it's just inevitable. That radio show, it's now... at least a year or so ago, but where Sherry was talking to someone who had a similar thing where she wanted to be present at work, right? And I can't remember exactly the details of it, but and she was saying, same kind of thing, like, I keep really, you know, I'm gonna do it, here I go. And then I don't, you know, it doesn't happen, and Sherry said, it's inevitable that you're gonna be successful with that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know when, you know,
but
that it's inevitable, and to love the process.
Yeah.
You know, to bring that sense of fun to it.
That is the attention on the brilliance.
It is the attention.
Yeah, it's funny because I had that, I think I talked about it before, I was doing this counting of dropping the tallies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a similar thing, like, I can't really, da-da-da-da. It was just kind of this, well, it's not really happening.
Right.
But I stuck with it in the process of just showing up and, okay, well, what kind of supports would support that? And, you know, the amount of tallies or that actually became very secondary.
Mm-hmm.
To the process of just this wholehearted enthusiasm to just giving it a go each day. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know we're so talked into getting somewhere.
Yeah. No kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. That is a big one. You should be. I mean, by this many days.
Right. I
mean, remember last time when
you 8 minutes. You should be. Yeah. You know. Yeah, I think we talked about it in Thursday night group, that place where if the process is the outcome, the best way to rob us of the outcome is to get our attention off the process and onto the outcome.
Yeah, and it's funny, of course, it doesn't say anything, like, it should be 8 minutes.
Right.
But there's something in the background, you know, because that's the framework for everything.
Right, and must be, right? Because our big clue is that, you know, there's a disappointment.
Yeah, disappointment in what?
Exactly.
That would assume
if there's no
we should have been doing something.
How could there be disappointment?
Yeah, that's good too.
Yeah.
One of the places I had the most time with this is when we were doing that present moment recording from the Big Bamboozle.
Mm-hmm.
I just added it to when the timer would go off. And that was that place of, okay, now I'm back in the present. And it also felt like a thank you. Which I've been also doing when the timer goes off. Now I've just been gushing and saying thank you.
Yeah.
So that it's at least that moment is for life,
instead
of, you know, the disappointing look.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. So, I mean, that's really the radical place we're not supposed to get to. No standards, no hurry, no timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. That's helpful. I'm gonna continue the rest of the month on that.
Thank you.